For more on the inflation print, though, here in regards to what it means for the market and potentially what the Fed has planned in terms of their tapering talks or maybe even moving their pull forward in terms of increasing rates, I want to bring on our first guest here in the noon hour, Simeon Hyman, ProShares, a global investment strategist, joins us right now. And Simeon, you know, we talk about inflation a lot, and it's always interesting to kind of compare the numbers. Of course, the Fed's argument has always been that the inflation that we're seeing now is just transitory. And indeed, you know, we did come down a bit from the 0.9% we saw June to May, July to June, 0.5%. So it's getting better here, I guess you could say. But the 2% has always been kind of their threshold to watch. What do you make of this print and what it says about what the Fed might do?
It's a little bit of deceleration, but still there's some clear evidence that there's enough persistency of inflation being not just above the 2% target, but above whatever that sort of symmetric overshoot of 2% that has never been formally articulated. But you also have to look at today's print in conjunction with Friday's payroll report. That was a really, really strong payroll number, and it really indicated that we're probably pretty close to that substantial further progress in unemployment that the Fed has indicated is sort of the signal for them to starting to taper. So if you look from last Friday, we have had a big bond sell-off to the tune of almost a 20 basis point increase in the 10-year Treasury. This may very well mark the end of that Treasury rally that we've seen over the last several months.
Simeon, when you look at the inflation print we got today and that jobs report last week, what does that tell you about where inflation is likely to move in the coming months? On the one hand, we could talk about moderation between June and July. And yet, if you look specifically at wages, for example, and how tight the job market is, or the company's inability to be able to hire and up, you know, add the staffing that they need without sort of dangling these incentives and raising wages, I mean, that seems to suggest that that's not going anywhere.
I think you're making a great point. Over the weekend, we went to a couple of restaurants that looked half empty and there was an hour wait for a table. And we said, wait a minute, the restaurant's half empty, but they can't get staff. Now, if you look at the number today, I think there was a little bit of a misguided focus because real hourly earnings dropped over 1% year over year. And a lot of people immediately looked at that and said, that's kind of weird weakness. But the nominal increase in wages was 4%. It's only negative real because of that over 5% year over year inflation number. So the question is, which aspects are transitory? And historically, the stickiest thing we know is wages. The odds of having 5+% year over year inflation is unlikely, but could it be 3, 3.5? Sure. And that's really indicated by that wage number. But it does also tell you that there's some consumer strength here. 4% is not bad. And let's say that sort of persistent inflation guy is 3%. Real purchasing power could hold up reasonably well going into the latter half of this year and the beginning of next year. And of course, we've seen a very, very high consumer confidence numbers, as well as a pretty decent retail sales number last month.
Yeah, it's always tough to tease out kind of as you're talking about the labor side in terms of, you know, particularly when it comes to dining, the issues around getting workers in the restaurants as well as kind of the pent up demand we've been talking about people wanting to get back out the home and get back into restaurants. I mean, prices there in this report for food away from the house rose 0.8% in July. That was the biggest monthly advance we've seen since 1981. I'm not sure if maybe we should read into that and kind of tease out that the demand there is just so strong, or if we're seeing those labor issues you're speaking to. But when you look at maybe how this reopening is going, how much more room do you think is there to run in kind of those sectors that people hadn't been able to experience, talking entertainment, restaurants, travel? How much more do you think there is when you kind of look at the inflation pressures already there in some of those things?
Yeah, there's certain areas of that reopening trade that, you know, may have gone a little bit too far. You spoke about some of the little bit of sort of stagnation in the airline stocks and some of the leisure stuff. But if you look more specifically at the epicenter of the consumer and you look at retail, it may very well be at this point that the brick and mortar recovery perhaps has run its course. Brick and mortar retailers, if you look at the Selective ProShares Brick and Mortar Retail Index, it's actually trading at double the price to book that you saw pre-pandemic. So it's been a good run, but maybe it's gone quite far enough at this point. Whereas online retail, which of course performed admirably well early on in the pandemic and has been a little bit quieter this year, is now trading at a 40% discount to the consumer discretionary sector and just a small premium from pre-pandemic, even with the incessant trend at its back. So I certainly agree with you that there's some of the reopening trades that may have run their course. And we've seen, even with the Delta variant, the broad economy sort of in some ways, not all, but in some ways, meaning the broad demand across many of the consumer sectors holding up even as the virus kicks up a little bit with the variants.
Yeah, it feels like we're not going to get to the worst of what we saw last year, but there's still a lot of uncertainty of, you know, what the surge in the Delta variant really means broadly. We'll continue to monitor that. But Simeon, it's always good to have you on. Simeon Hyman, ProShares Global Investment Strategist.